Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are, because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are,
Jehovah,
Jehovah Jah,
my provider, Jehovah Nisi, Lord, you reign,
Lord, you reign in victory, Jehovah Shiloh, my Prince of Peace. Because of who you are,
Lord, I worship.
I worship you because of who you are,
Jehovah.
Jehovah God,
my provider.
My provider,
Jehovah Nisi. Lord, you reign.
Lord, you reign. Victory, Jehovah Shiloh, my Prince of Peace. Lord, I worship you because of who you are, because of who you are, because of who you are. Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are.
Thank you, Sister Haley. Thank you, contemporaries. How many of you worship God because of who He is? Creator, sustainer. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. How many of you know who He is? Come on, help me here. He's Lord of Lords. He's King of Kings. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Nisi. He's healer, savior. Ought to be bowling down your lane right about now. He is protector. Lord, I worship you because. Hallelujah. Eternal and everlasting God, we worship you because of who you are. Because of the blessings that you give to us, you sustain us in life. You're with us when we grieve. You're with us when we rejoice. Matter of fact, you turn our ashes into oils of joy, and how we thank you. Bless now the preached word, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. And all the people of God said, amen. Our text comes to us from Paul's letter to the church at Corinth as we continue our series of sermons on love is and love is not. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have all the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love hath not itself, is not puffed up. We want to stop right there. Love is not puffed up. Look at your neighbor to the left, to the right, behind you, in front of you, and ask them, why are you so puffed up? Come on, help me here. Why are you so filled with yourself? There are a lot of people who are puffed up. There are a lot of people who think more highly of themselves than they ought. Every now and then, when I'm feeling like I am somebody greater than others, Jackie will say to me, Jimerson, why are you feeling like you are more than others? Why are you so puffed up? Thank God for a woman with wisdom and courage. Y'all will catch that courage in a minute. Courageous enough to tell her husband, boy, you better watch yourself before you be by yourself. Oh, help me here. You better watch yourself before you fall off that pedestal. Sometimes people will put you on a pedestal. Sometimes people will blow you up. I mean, just really puff you up to where you feel that you are all of that. Bag of chips, got the Coke. Yeah. And the t-shirt. But I stopped by on my way to heaven to tell Second Baptist, Second Baptist, don't be so puffed up. Paul writes this letter to a church that members feel like they are the greatest. They are feeling like there's nobody that can do it any better than they. They are feeling like, because they were on radio and television, I mean, because they were standing out, that nobody could do it better than they. And probably no other church had the advantages of the power and the presence of God than the church at Corinth. But in their lifting themselves up, they forgot that other people are also the children of God. It is a church not like Second Baptist. It is a church where the people were hateful. Here at Second Baptist, we're not hateful. We love one another. It is a church where they are unloving toward one another. At Second Baptist, we love everybody. They are a church that is jealous one of the other. At Second Baptist, no one is jealous of you and your position. Hallelujah. Preach, preacher. They are envious one of the other. Nobody's envious of you because you're a pastor or because you're a president or because you're a secretary or because you're a custodian. At Second Baptist, we are a loving, kind, trusting church. Real love is not puffed up, not full of itself. The Greek word Paul used here means to puff oneself out like a balloon. In describing this opposite characteristic of real love, Paul chooses a term he has used earlier in the same letter when he encouraged the loveless Christians in Corinth not to be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. 1 Corinthians 4 and 6 gives us these words from the pen of the Apostle Paul. Listen to what Paul says. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 and following. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that he might learn in us not to think of men above what is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another, different from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why does thy glory as if thou had not received it? Now ye are full, now ye are rich, ye have resigned as kings without us. And I would to God that he reign, and that he also might reign with you. Paul writes to this church to say to them and to say to us, do not be puffed up. In the same earlier section of the letter, Paul describes the Corinthians as being so full of themselves that they have no room to feel the pain of others. Here in chapter 13, he uses the same word picture to show that the arrogance that make us unwilling to receive the help of others also make us insensitive to those who need us. Have you ever tried to help somebody? Have you ever seen someone that appeared to be down and out and you offered something to them and they said, I don't need that? Matter of fact, they're saying, I don't need your concern. I don't need your help. Only later to find them coming back saying, can you help me? Many of us are so puffed up, so into self that we will not let people help us. We will not honor the help that people want to give to us. William Kearney was often referred to as a father of modern missions, illustrates the kind of love that is not puffed up. He was a brilliant linguist and was responsible for translating over 34 different languages and dialects. Yet his accomplishment grew out of humble beginnings that remained and in us and that remained in his heart. He was raised in a simple home in England and worked as a cobbler. In early years, when his efforts for the gospel led him to India, he was often ridiculed for his low birth and former occupation. At a dinner party one evening, another guest, seeming to call attention to Curry's humble beginnings, said, "Mr. Curry, I understand you once worked as a shoemaker." "Oh, no, your lordship," he replied. "I was not a shoemaker, only a shoe repairman." By contrast, puffed up people full of themselves and having an exaggerated opinion of their own importance are likely to assume that their happiness, well-being, opinions, and feelings are the only thing that really count. Puffed up people find it easy to dismiss the needs and feelings of others. With inflated sense of our own importance, we listen only for the echo of our own voice and look only for the reflection of our own interests. The New Testament view of real love does not teach us to neglect our own needs. It teaches us to remember that our interests are no more important than the interests of others. Even though we often have to give priority to the needs of our own families and homes, we should always be concerned about the interests, families, and homes of others. The first place we might look to see if we have a puffed up sense of our own importance is in our prayers. Do we pray only for ourselves and our own interests? Do we also pray for the children's, spouse, and concerns of others? Had an old deacon at the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, my first church, the first pastor that I had. Deacon Wright could pray. He was one praying deacon. He would say, "Lord, I come now, heart in Lonesome Valley, eyes toward Mother Dust. I want you to bless this church, bless the pastor, bless all my friends. Say nothing about my enemies, just my friends." Then one Sunday we call on Deacon Wright to pray. "Deacon Wright, would you lead us in prayer?" He said, "Yes, Reverend, I'd be happy to. Lord, bless me, my family, and that's it. Amen." What kind of prayer is that? First of all, he did not acknowledge the lordship of God. Jesus told his disciples, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.'" He also taught us in the model prayer to give thanks for what we have. Too many of us are so stuck up. Too many of us, not at Second Baptist, too many people in the world are so stuck up that they forget about the lordship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They forget about the fact that God is a gracious God. Can I tell you why I think he's a gracious God? Because this morning he touched me with a finger of love. Grace woke me up this morning and started me on my way. Can I ask somebody a question? Is there anybody here that grace woke you up this morning, started you on your way? The other thing that I know he's a gracious God is because he is a forgiving God. When I look back and see from whence I've come, I know that God is a forgiving God. Said things I should have not said, done things I should have not done. But thanks be to God that he looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. You ought to be somebody here that's not so puffed up, that's not so into self, that you can say thanks be to God for the wonderful things that he has done. Has God done anything for you today? Yes, he's done marvelous things. He let the sunshine fall. He let the rain fall. God is a good God. He's good all the time. And all the time, God is good. So my brothers and sisters, we have no reason to be puffed up. We did not make ourselves. We did not make ourselves. Some people are puffed up because our lives are full of wickedness. Now, how strong that is, that expression is. For the Bible says the heart of the sons of men is full of evil. The origin of this is the fall of our parents in the Garden of Eden.
You remember Adam and Eve, how they sinned and turned their backs on God. Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. No, it was not the devil that made them do it. It was their desire to be like God. So they wanted to eat of that tree. But can I help you here? You and I will never be like God. We can be children of God, but we can never be God, because we have no power to create. We have no power to put in order things that are out of order. It takes the God that's in us to help us be all that we can be. Listen again. God made man upright. But the Holy Ghost therefore says to the lips of Solomon, there's no man that liveth and sinneth not. Job asked the question, who can bring clean thing out of an unclean? Who knows the heart? Christ, God knows our heart. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts. The Lord therefore saith by Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, know it. God knows our heart. He knows our thoughts. He knows our attitude. We can walk around talking about who I am and how great I am. But I stopped by on the way to heaven to tell you, God is great. And above him, there is none other. Paul writes, I know that in me there abideth no good things. Do not be so puffed up that your wickedness shows your wickedness. Secondly, a puffed up person shows his or her madness in their attitude about others. Thank God that I am not like this other person. You know, folk who can always point out your faults. They can always talk about how you not who you say you are. They can always talk about the fact that you messed up. But can I tell you something? All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thanks be to God that God came to seek and to save those who were lost. I like what the Pharisees and Sadducees said about him. They said he eats and dines with sinners. Thank God that I am a sinner saved by the grace of God. And because I am a sinner saved by the grace of God, every now and then Jesus stops by to have lunch with me. Can I talk about that a little bit? When I'm feeling depressed, he stops by and gives me a word of encouragement. He said, lo, I'm with you always. He tells me the step that you take, the healer, yeah, I give that to you. Is there anybody here that the Lord has blessed you in the midst of your enemies? That the Lord has looked at you and smiled on you. I like what David said. Yeah, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies and anoints my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is there anybody here, you got promoted when your enemy said you shouldn't get promoted? You lost one job and the Lord opened up a bigger job for you. Is there anybody here? Yeah. You were teaching school and you had some children who were unruly, and the parents reported the fact that you did not care for their child. But the principal said, I know him, I know her, and I know that they love all the children. You need to check yourself before you turn somebody in. You need to sweep your house before you sweep somebody else's house. Is there anybody here that's been sweeping in your house when they need to sweep in their own house? And turn it over to God. The Bible says, don't be so puffed up, because puffed up people are wicked people. And then puffed up people become mad people. You remember Saul? Yeah. I like Saul and David's story. he was a king and he was a shepherd boy who would become king. And the Bible says that whenever an evil spirit came upon Saul, David would come and play his little harp, play for Saul, and the evil spirit would go away. But you may remember when David stood before Goliath and killed that great giant with a smooth stone and a slingshot. The Bible says that the women start singing, Saul has killed his thousand, but David his 10,000. You got to watch out when folks start bragging on you. You got to watch out when folks start talking about your goodness and how great you are and what you've done, because somebody is going to get mad. The Bible said that Saul became angry. David, in his presence, he threw his spear at David. But thanks be to God that when your enemies try to destroy you, if you're not so puffed up, God will move on your behalf. Can I help you here? Madness is in the hearts of the Son of Man, but real love is not puffed up. It's not puffed up because people need to stop focusing on themselves and focus on God. Start living like a chosen one. Can I put a point here? I'm chosen by God to be where I am and to do what I'm doing. I'm chosen by God. Man didn't make me, and man cannot choose the ministry that the Lord gives to a servant to perform. Can I help you here? This is what the Bible said about God choosing you. Isaiah 41, 9 through 10 says, I've chosen you and you have not cast you, and I will not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And then the Bible says, for you are a holy people to the Lord our God. The Lord our God has chosen you to be a people for himself. Thank God that he chose you and me to be a people for himself. And he made a church, and he's coming back for church without spot or wrinkle. Listen, God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit. And I believe the truth in the truth. We do not have to fake it until we make it. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, you don't have to fake it until you make it. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I would see a fireman and I wanted to be a fireman. I see a police officer and I wanted to be a police officer. And I never forget, I used to watch the Western movies. And guess what? I would watch the Cowboys and Indians, and the Cowboys always won. But I found out that sometimes you don't always win. Sometimes in life you have your ups and downs. The vicissitudes of life come to every person. But can I help you here? Don't fake it, because you can't make it by faking it. I had a guy in my neighborhood, drove the finest car. He drove the finest car. But guess what? You went to his house and he didn't have a place to sit down. You know folk like that. I had a friend who would dress. He would dress so well until you just knew that he had plenty of money. But guess what? I found out that he didn't have any money. He was dressing from the Salvation Army and the Goodwill because he was trying to fake it until he made it. But thanks be to God, I don't have to fake it until I make it, because I am victorious in Jesus Christ. You don't have to be puffed up. You don't have to be into yourself, because you need the words of the Apostle Paul. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. The Bible helps me by telling me that the victory is mine. When I look at Matthew in that first chapter, I see the birth of Christ. But all through Matthew, I see somebody that the Lord blessed. He blessed the woman with the issue of blood. She had an issue of blood for 12 years. She wasn't faking it. She had the issue. And whenever you're not faking it, God knows what to do for you. The Bible says, she said, if I can just but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she touched the hem of his garment and the blood stopped flowing. You remember the man that was by the pool for 38 years. I'm talking about people that didn't fake it and God helped them to make it. The Bible says that he was there for 38 years, but he was waiting for the water, for the angel to come down to change the water. But thanks be to God, the healing is not in the water. The healing is not in the medicine. The healing is not in the counseling. It's in you and Jesus Christ. You have to have the will. The will to do what God wants you to do. I can tell you one thing. One day when this life is over, I won't have to fake it because I shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye and caught up to meet him. Is there anybody here that's trying not to live a puffed up life? You don't have to live it because God fills your life with every kind of blessing. Is there anybody here that love my Jesus? Is there anybody here that love the Lord? Is there anybody here that know that God is full of mercy? He's full of forgiveness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't worry about it. You don't have to be puffed up. You don't have to be into yourself. You can love everybody. God has a plan for your life. And whatever that plan is, he'll work it out. Touch your neighbor and tell you, he'll work it out. He'll work it out. He'll work it out. He worked out my salvation on Calvary's cross. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God, Brother Montgomery, for Jesus who gave his life a ransom for our sins. If you ask me who I am, if you ask me whose I am, I'll tell you, I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Been washed in the blood of the Lamb. The church is standing. We invite you to come. Oh. You may come by letter, by Christian experience, candidate for baptism. But we invite you to come. Come on, sing it like you mean it.
I am redeemed. I've been bought with a price. Jesus has changed. He's changed my whole life. If anybody asks you just who I am, you just tell them where there is hate, love now abides. where there was confusion, peace now reigns. I'm walking with Jesus.
That's it.
And I'm a child of the King. And it's all because I am redeemed. I am. I am redeemed. I've been bought with the price. You see, the Lord Jesus, He's changed my whole life. And if anybody asks you just who I am, you can tell them I am redeemed. I'll tell of His favor. I'll tell of His love. I'll tell of His goodness to me. He purchased my redemption with His own precious blood. And from sin, I've been set free. For I am, I've been bought with the price. Jesus, He's changed my whole life. If anybody asks you just whose I am, just tell them I am.